From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
This is Hernita with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo instructs to conduct wear face mask campaign extensively. Epidemiologists says public transport may not turn into infection clusters. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered to conduct a two-week wear face mask campaign on a massive scale throughout Indonesia to curtail the spread of coronavirus disease or COVID-19. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo stated, while chairing a limited cabinet meeting on COVID-19 handling and national economic recovery at the Merdeka Palace on Monday, that he just wants to focus. The head of state cited the latest COVID-19 data that recovery rate of such cases in Indonesia reached 61.9%, which he believes had gotten better, and the figure was expected to continue to increase. Hence, President Joko Widodo is keen that the people give serious attention to health protocols and amend their behavior accordingly. University of Indonesia epidemiologist Pandu Riono on Monday implied there has yet been any conclusive evidence suggesting that public transportation may turn into uncontrollable COVID-19 clusters. The epidemiologist believes that lack of public transport clusters is due to the strict implementation of health protocols, even though public transportation continues to move thousands of people daily amidst the pandemic. The strict health protocol by international communities, Pandu asserts, must be understood and implemented in Indonesia, especially considering Jakarta will be reintroducing its odd-even number plate policy. The odd-even policy is feared by many to add the load of public transportation. As preventive measures, the epidemiologist suggests users avoid rush hours if possible and suggests operators add the number of trains, extending operational hours and opening each train's ventilation to improve circulation within each train. Now we move to international news. A Norwegian cruise ship line halted all trips and apologized Monday for procedural errors after a coronavirus outbreak on one ship infected at least 5 passengers and 36 crew. Health authorities fear the ship also could have spread the virus to dozens of towns and villages along Norway's western coast. As quoted by APnews.com on Monday, the virus cases from the MS Road Amundsen raised new questions about safety on all cruise ships during a pandemic, even as the devastated cruise ship industry is pressing to resume sailings after chaotically shutting down in March. In response to the outbreak, Norway on Monday closed its port to cruise ships for 2 weeks. The Hurtigruten cruise line was one of the first companies to resume sailing during the pandemic, starting cruises to Norway out of the northern Germany in June with a single ship, then adding cruises in July to the Arctic archipelago of Svalbard. Distance learning will begin for more than 30 million Mexican school children August 24, but a return to classrooms will remain an uncertain goal. the country's education secretary said on Monday. As quoted by APnews.com on Tuesday, Secretary Esteban Moctezuma Barragan and executives from the country's largest television networks presented in broad strokes a plan to put educational instruction on television. Moctezuma said that risk to in-person education continue being too high. Officials fear children could become coronavirus carriers, infecting relatives at home. The results of nationwide antibody tests conducted at nearly 65,000 Italians indicate that some 1.5 million individuals, or 2.5% of the population, have had the coronavirus, health officials said Monday. As quoted by APnews.com on Tuesday, that figure is 6 times the number of confirmed cases in Italy's official virus tally. The results align with a 2.3% estimated mortality rate of the virus. Dr. Franco Locatelli, a key scientific government advisor, said the tests were designed to understand the virus circulation nationwide and not whether Italians with antibodies were safe from the virus. The huge geographic variability in the results, some 7% of residents in hard-hit Lombardy had the virus versus 0.3% in Sicily, showed that Italy's 3-month nationwide lockdown was critical to sparing part of the country the devastating experience in the north. Emeritus Pope Benedict XVI has fallen ill after his return from a trip to his native Bavaria to visit his brother, who died a month ago, a German newspaper reported Monday. As quoted by APnews.com, the Daily Prager Neue Presse quoted Peter Sewald, a biographer of the retired pontiff, as saying that the 93-year-old has been suffering from a facial infection since his return to Rome. Sewald, who has published several book-length interviews with Benedict, handed over a copy of the biography to the former pontiff on Saturday, the newspaper reported. He described Benedict as being optimistic and talking about possibly writing himself if his strength speaks up, though he said that Benedict is physically very frail. The last item, the U.S. Marine Corps has identified all 9 people killed when a marine landing craft sank in hundreds of feet of water off the Southern California coast. As quoted by APnews.com Tuesday, only one of their bodies was found, despite an intense days-long search involving helicopters and boats ranging from inflatables to a Navy destroyer. The 15th Marine Expedition Regiment announced on Sunday that the others from California, Texas, Wisconsin, and Oregon are presumed dead. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling The Government Focusing on the Implementation of Health Protocols. President Joko Widodo views that at present, public concern about COVID-19 is increasing. This was expressed in a limited meeting that discussed the handling of COVID-19 and the recovery of the national economy at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. He admitted
that he did not know why the public seemed to be so worried, either because the case was increasing or the community, especially the upper middle class, saw that there were still many people who did not obey the health protocols. The number of positive cases and the number of deaths due to the COVID-19 pandemic in Indonesia are relatively high. The number of positive cases has exceeded 100,000, and the number of deaths had exceeded 5,000. This figure even exceeds in other Asian member countries. Thereby, President Joko Widodo wants to change the strategy of handling pandemic impacts by focusing more on implementing health protocols. He instructed that the campaign to implement health protocols have to be carried out more massively and more focused. President Joko Widodo has scheduled that within 2 weeks, the government will focus on the campaign to wear masks. Why only wearing masks? Why not keep the distance, not crowding, and washing often? He reasoned if these are done simultaneously, maybe the middle upper class people could understand quickly. However, the lower people need explanation in details. After 2 weeks of campaign wearing masks, the next 2 weeks campaign of distance or hand washing are carried out. In fact, President Joko Widodo asked the Mothers of Family Welfare Empowerment to help the campaign massively. The high number of positive cases of COVID-19 is worrying. However, as said by Governor of Jakarta Anies Baswedan, the figure also shows that the government is massive in conducting tests with a wider range of people. The figure also shows that both the central and regional governments have worked hard to track transmission and testing. If many people ignore the health protocols, of course, the cause must be known in advance so that the treatment is appropriate. Is the community less informed about health protocols? Did anyone intentionally obstruct the public from accessing correct information? In the United States, communities divided into two groups that agree with health protocols and those who disagree. They even strongly opposed the use of masks and did not want to keep their distance. As a result, the number of positive cases of COVID-19 in the country continues to increase sharply without downward trend. So does the death rate. This divided attitude is of course driven by community leaders, including politicians. Do not let Indonesians experience something like that. Indonesian people must first understand that implementing health protocols is very important. This can be achieved if the entire community can access correct information about the COVID-19 pandemic. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll begin with an August 4, 1961, when Barack Obama was born. Barack Hussein Obama II is an American politician who served as the 44th President of the United States from 2009 to 2017. Barack Obama was born on August 4, 1961, was the first African American to occupy this position. Born in Honolulu, Hawaii, Obama is a graduate of Columbia University and Harvard Law School, where he became president of the Harvard Law Review. He was a community mobilizer in Chicago before getting his law degree. He worked as a civil rights attorney in Chicago and taught constitutional law at the University of Chicago Law School from 1992 to 2004. Let's move on to August 4, 1992, where the Indonesian contingent won first gold medals at the Summer Olympics. The Indonesian contingent, who won a gold medal for the first time at the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Susi Susanti, won the women's single badminton, and Alan Budi Kusuma won the men's single badminton at the Olympics. The red and white flag flew for the first time, marking the first gold medal of the Indonesian contingent during its participation in the Olympics since 1952. In Helsinki. I'll conclude today in history with August 4, 2007, with the launch of the Phoenix Space Forum. Phoenix is an unmanned spacecraft belonging to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, United States. Phoenix was launched to Mars under the Mars Scout program on August 4, 2007 and landed on Mars on May 25, 2008. The aim of this program is to study the history of water on the Arctic's Mars, search for evidence of habitable zones, and assess the biological potential of ice, soil, and atmosphere. Phoenix studied the land of Mars with a chemistry laboratory, microscopy, and several cameras until August 2008. Well, listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Tuhan dan semesta tak izinkan kita untuk bersama dalam satu cinta. Sayang, ini takkan mudah. Runtuhkan segala angan indah yang berakhir luka. Keliru aku tentang kita, tak mampu paksakan. Meski telah mencoba berjuta upaya, tetap sia-sia. Aku cinta, sungguh-sungguh aku cinta, sedalam-dalamnya rasa. Apa daya, tak mungkin kita bersama. Oh sayang, ini takkan mudah. Runtuhkan segala angan indah yang berakhir luka.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. With My Indonesia today, entitling Indonesia and New Zealand strengthen comprehensive partnership amid COVID-19 pandemic. Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, and her counterpart from New Zealand, Winston Peters, chaired the 9th Joint Ministerial Commission of the Republic of Indonesia, New Zealand, on Wednesday. The meeting was the first one held virtually amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Escorted by the website kemlu.go.id at the meeting, Minister Retno expressed her appreciation to New Zealand as one of the first countries to have collaborated with Indonesia amid the COVID-19 pandemic in the form of a commitment worth 6.12 million New Zealand dollars or worth 59.4 billion rupiah. The commitment is intended to improve the quality of COVID-19 test services with Aikman Institute worth 6.3 billion rupiah. Through UNICEF, 48.6 billion was channeled to improve risk communication services to the community. The provision and distribution of personal protective equipment and prevention of infection, as well as increased readiness of essential services, and 4.5 billion rupiah for other things. Asian-Australia-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement. During the meeting, the two ministers also discussed various bilateral issues, such as commitments in pandemic mitigation and post-pandemic economic recovery, achieving bilateral trade targets worth 40 trillion rupiah in 2024, increasing market access for Indonesian products, and strengthening cooperation in the Asian-Australia-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement. Minister Ratno also emphasized that it's important for both countries to work harder in a bid to achieve the targets and create more balanced trade. She also expressed her appreciation for the increased investment of New Zealand in Indonesia, which reached $9 million in the first half of 2020. If the political field Indonesia expressed appreciations for New Zealand's position that respect the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Indonesia. In addition to bilateral issues, both sides also discuss various regional and global issues that are of interest to the two countries, namely the situation in the South China Sea, cooperation in the Pacific region, Indonesia's support for the New Zealand chairmanship of the APEC 2021, and the signing of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, by both countries. The meeting has produced a joint statement signed by both foreign ministers as well as a plan of action for the comprehensive partnership between Indonesia and New Zealand for the period 2020-2024. The action plan will map out various commitments and opportunities for mutually beneficial cooperation between the two countries. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 Bibakoikum til manazil.
Zusammen gegen Corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the
pernah coba, coba untuk pertahankan semua. Cinta waktu usaha, aku berikan semua. Tapi percuma, pasti ada yang salah cara berpikirmu. Ini cuma masalah tentang asumsimu. Harus selalu kabarin di mana posisiku.
Aku enggak.
Bisa panjang.
nyesel ngajak balikan. Kamu juga yang bilang aku gak pantas disayang. Tolong jangan dipaksa, ku sudah hilang rasa. Putus satu-satunya cara kita tak terluka. Tiada yang salah cara berpikirmu. Aku selalu ngalah sama sifat egoismu. Aku pernah coba pertahankan sama kamu.
Coba fikirkan,
tapi aku gak bisa.
Masih bisa sayang,
masih bisa sayang.
Kali ini saja sayang, kasih kesempatan, masih bisa panjang. Coba fikirkan,
masih bisa.
Kesempatan masih bisa panjang, kasih kesempatan masih bisa panjang, kasih kesempatan masih bisa panjang.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Sago Waku Komo-Komo. Stay tuned. Since a long time ago, sago has become staple food of Maluku people. Sago can be processed to be various kinds of foods. One of them is Waku Komo-Komo. The Maluku typical food, Waku Komo-Komo, has main materials of sago and waku leaf. Waku leaf is similar with palm leaf that is used to wrap the food, while the sago flour is processed flour from palm trunk. The flour is like tapioca. To make sago waku komo-komo, firstly sago flour is soaked in cold water for 1 hour. Then the ingredients like garlic, lemongrass, and ginger are salted. Fish offal and water are entered into the fried seasonings and cooked. While prepare the dough of sago by salting garlic and red onion until having yellow brownish colors, and the liquid coconut milk and the soaked sago. After the dough is mixed well, add it with thick coconut milk, salt, pepper, and slices of leeks, and then cook. After the dough cooked, let it cool. Then fish offal and the sago which have been cooked are put on waku leaf, wrapped and baked with hot coals until the leaves dry. Sago waku komo-komo has sweet and savory taste, and its flavor is also unique because using many spices. Sago waku komo-komo can also be eaten as side dish with rice. This food is easily found at restaurants in Ambon and Ternate, North Maluku. The price is also relatively cheap, around 10,000 rupiah until 15,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. Stay at home, clean your hands, and follow your local health regulation.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Tari Apa Itu, or in English, what dance is that? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Tari Apa Itu, or what dance is that? At the dance studio, Kevin asked Siti what dance the students were dancing.
Siapa yang sedang menari itu?
Oh, mereka adalah mahasiswa yang sedang berlatih menari.
Apa nama tarian itu?
Tari topeng dari Jakarta.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is Tari Apa Itu? Tari Apa Itu? Which means, what dance is that? I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Siapa yang? Siapa yang? Which means, who is? Mereka adalah? Mereka adalah? Which means, they are? Apa nama tarian itu? Apa nama tarian itu? Which means, what is the name of the dance? Tari. Tari. Which means, dance. Dari. Dari. Which means, from. You can use the question's word siapa, siapa, which means who, to ask for a person, and apa, apa, which means what, to ask about a thing. Example: Siapa yang sedang menari itu? Siapa yang sedang menari itu? Which means who's dancing. Apa nama tarian itu? Apa nama tarian itu? Which means, what is the name of the dance? Another example if you ask, Siapa yang menari itu? Siapa yang menari itu? Which means, who danced? Apa nama tarian itu? Apa nama tarian itu? Which means, what is the name of the dance? Then you will get an answer. For example, mereka adalah mahasiswa yang sedang menari tarian topeng. Mereka adalah mahasiswa yang sedang menari tarian topeng. Which means, there are students who are dancing mass dance. Well, listener, before we are ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Siapa yang sedang menari itu?
Oh, mereka adalah mahasiswa yang sedang berlatih menari.
Apa nama tarian itu?
Tari topeng dari Jakarta.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with another different topic. I'm Nuka Kuswawati, thank you for listening and sampai jumpa!
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
From Indonesia to the world.
Di ujung pertemuan ini, kau terlihat indah sekali. Tersenyum di antara gundah, memilih kata untukku. Bukankah kita pernah berjanji tak akan sesali kisah ini? Jika inilah yang terakhir kalinya kau dan aku bisa bertemu, terima kasih untuk pernah mencoba menerimaku dengan segala beda.
Terus siapa?
Nanti juga kamu tahu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a mellow song entitled Teratai, sung by Pak Itam. The song Teratai was created by Mahmud Ibrahim and its lyrics were composed by Ali Hashmi. In accordance with its title, the song tells a story of lotus flower. Its lyrics use many personification words to describe the beauty of lotus flower, such as senyum simpulmu menyejukkan kalbu, which means your smile is soothing my heart. The song Teratai has a middle tempo music. The song was firstly popularized in 1960s by El Surayak Orchestra, led by Ahmad Baki and sung by M. Tahir. Teratai is one of Dali Malay's, a musical genre which was hits in the 1950s. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Teratai, sung by Pak Itam. Enjoy the song.
Terpaut pandangku padamu teratai, senyum simpulmu menyayukanku. Terpaut pandangku padamu teratai, senyum simpulmu menyayukanku. Gerak daunmu lemah gemulai, bagai melambai musafir lalu. Gerak daunmu lemah gemulai, bagai melambai musafir lalu. Subur nian engkau teratai, sesuai dengan bumi tumbuhmu. Subur nian engkau teratai, sesuai dengan bumi tumbuhmu. Sungguh menarik wajahmu teratai, engkau ku puja seumur hidupku. Sungguh menarik wajahmu teratai, engkau ku puja seumur hidupku. Gerak daunmu lemah gemulai, bagai melambai musafir lalu. gerak daunmu lemah gemulai. Bagai malam bayi musafir lalu, subur nian engkau teratai sesuai dengan bumi tumbuhmu. Subur nian engkau teratai sesuai dengan bumi tumbuhmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku berjalan menyisir malam dan tak terasa dingin. Aku berjalan menahan perih dari hati yang telah rapuh. Malam-malamku semakin pilu, entah mengapa asa merajuk. Suara hati lirih berdesir menerangkan lara hati. Jangan tanya mengapa bila akhirnya kita terpisah.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.